Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
You know, it's interesting how history sometimes feels like this vast puzzle, and we're just a couple of pieces trying to figure it all out. Today, we're diving deep into what I call the 1890 global memory wipe. Yeah, you heard that right. When you look at a photograph from 1880, you're not seeing the world as it was. You're seeing what survived the erasure. And the gap between what's in that photograph and what should be there, that gap is where the story lives. What researchers now call the mud flood reset left traces so precise, so architectural, that once you see them, you cannot unsee them. This isn't fringe speculation. The Tartarian Empire appears on official cartography. The mudflood hypothesis has a documented evidence trail, and the 1880 to 1900 reset timeline is specific enough to verify if you know where to look. This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
In the 1880s, world capitals looked nothing like they do now. The architectural language was unified, ornate. Impossible without a shared technology, a shared knowledge base, a shared civilization. And then, between roughly 1880 and 1900, something happened that fractured the historical record so completely that we're still living inside the lie of it. The buildings tell you first, not with words. Buildings don't lie. They just stand until someone decides to burn them. But if you've ever wondered why so many government buildings constructed in the 1890s and early 1900s show signs of hasty restoration, why entire city blocks in Moscow, San Francisco, and Buenos Aires have foundation stones that don't match their supposed construction dates, why electrical conduits in those buildings run through walls in ways that make no engineering sense for the era they're dated to, you're looking at a cover-up in real time. Add Denver to that list. The underground tunnel networks beneath Denver's city blocks, structures that predate the surface streets above them by decades, tell the same story. So does the Seattle Regrading Project, which officially raised the city's streets by an entire story burying whatever existed at ground level before. The official explanation is sewage management. The photographs suggest something more complete. Between 1880 and 1890, something called the Tartarian Civilization, an empire that spanned continents, that connected through underground railways, that possessed a technological sophistication that outdid anything your textbooks claim existed before 1950, was systematically erased from physical existence and historical record simultaneously. The coordination required wasn't just governmental, it was continental. It was absolute. Here's what you need to understand. There was a global reset, not just of architecture, but of culture, language, and memory itself. The evidence isn't hidden. It's everywhere. And the reason you've never been taught this is because the people who orchestrated the erasure are still in control of the institutions that write history. Let's start with the St. Louis World's Fair of 1904. Officially, it was built to showcase American progress, but there's a photograph. And this matters because photographs don't lie the way words do. From 1903, 1 year before the fair opened, showing the grounds completely constructed. Every building, every arch, every ornamental tower finished in 1 year. The official narrative says 2,300 workers built the entire fair in 4 years. With the quote-unquote temporary plaster structures erected in the months before opening. Yeah, plaster. That could withstand the weight of thousands of visitors, the weight of snow, the weight of rain. That could stand so perfectly that modern engineers looking at those photographs can't find a single structural flaw. And St. Louis wasn't alone. The 1893 Chicago World's Fair, the Columbian Exposition, presented an entire city of white neoclassical structures, so complete, so perfectly realized, that architects at the time privately admitted they couldn't replicate the work. The neoclassical and Richardsonian Romanesque revival forms on display weren't designed in the years before opening. They were uncovered 20 years later. The 1915 Panama Pacific Exposition in San Francisco did the same thing. A fully formed civilization appearing from nowhere and disappearing just as completely. Three world's fairs, three impossible construction timelines, three sets of temporary buildings that photographs show were anything but. But it gets worse. The St. Louis photographs show something else. Scattered throughout the grounds are these peculiar structures, kind of like weathered pavilions, kind of like ruins. The official plaques called them Tartarian exhibits. Not mysterious, not hidden. Presented openly as if everyone knew what Tartary was, as if you should know what Tartary was. You were never taught what Tartary was. And that's intentional. Tartary was on maps. Not medieval maps. Maps from the 1700s and 1800s. Official cartography. The 1771 Encyclopedia Britannica, not a fringe publication, the most authoritative reference work of its era, still contained maps, clearly showing Grand Tartary and Chinese Tartary as functioning empire designations with borders, provinces, and population centers. Russian maps, European maps, it covered a territory so vast it makes modern Russia look regional. And then, around 1890, it stopped existing. Not through conquest, through erasure. The maps were reprinted, the references were quietly removed from histories. Any explorer who documented the architecture, the infrastructure, the people, their journals were either lost or reclassified. Scholars like Anatoly Fomenko, whose work on new chronology first systematically exposed the gaps in the official timeline, have documented how precisely these removals were coordinated. Russian researcher Nikolai Levashov independently documented the same erasure pattern from the Slavic historical record, and his work, like Fomenko's, remains carefully excluded from mainstream academic discourse. The Tartarian Empire didn't fall. Nope, it was deleted. The erasure of Tartary also raises a deeper problem for conventional chronology. The phantom time hypothesis, the framework developed by Herbert Illig suggesting that centuries of historical record were fabricated or misplaced, it offers a structural explanation for how entire civilizations can disappear from the timeline without physical evidence of collapse. Fomenko's new chronology and Illig's phantom time are sibling theories in this sense. Both argue that the gaps in recorded history aren't accidental, they're architectural. The evidence is architectural, and it's specific. Look at the star forts, the bastion forts, scattered across every continent, from Europe to the Americas to Southeast Asia. Official history attributes them to military engineering between the 16th and 18th centuries, but their geometric precision, their integration into natural landscapes, their identical design language across cultures that supposedly had no contact, these aren't military structures improvised by isolated engineers. They're Tartarian infrastructure, and they appear on the same maps that were being quietly removed from circulation. In the 1890s, cities worldwide began a curious project. They started hiding buildings, not destroying them, hiding them. In Denver, multiple city blocks show underground structures that predate the settled surface buildings by decades. In San Francisco, after the 1906 earthquake, photographs from the rebuilding show crews excavating massive stone foundations from beneath the rubble, foundations that shouldn't be there according to any historical record of the city's construction. In New York, the basements of buildings constructed in the 1890s extend so far downward into such intricately carved stone channels that modern inspectors can only speculate about their original purpose. These aren't anomalies. They're entrances. The underground cities that the mud flood buried are still there, beneath every major population center that underwent the reset, as real as the underground city of Derinkuyu in Cappadocia, which conventional archaeology admits exists, but refuses to integrate into its larger picture of pre-modern civilization. The deeper you go, literally, the more recent the burial becomes. What happened between 1880 and 1900 was a coordinated 10-year reset, a global synchronization. Multiple governments, multiple power structures, all moving in perfect alignment to accomplish something that should have been impossible. Making an entire civilization disappear, not through time, but through institutional forgetting. The key is understanding the mechanism. It wasn't violence. Violence leaves bodies. Violence leaves witnesses. What happened was subtler, more complete. Educational institutions were restructured. History texts were reprinted with convenient gaps. Older encyclopedias, the ones published before 1885, including editions that still referenced Grand Tartary and Chinese Tartary by name, were systematically removed from public libraries and destroyed. Not all of them, just enough, just strategically enough that by 1910, a person had to work incredibly hard to find mention of Tartary in anything except maps that were being phased out of circulation. And paired with the architectural erasure was a social one. The orphan train movement of the 1850s through 1920s that we talked about in episode 53, which officially was a child welfare program, relocated hundreds of thousands of children across the continent. Within the reset research community, this is understood differently. As a repopulation mechanism, moving people without historical roots into cities being rebuilt above buried foundations, the timeline overlaps exactly. Simultaneously, a new architectural style was imposed, the Beaux-Arts movement, the Art Deco movement. These weren't organic cultural shifts. No, no. They were codified design standards, approved forms. They replaced something older, something more ornate, something that spoke to a different level of technological sophistication. The neoclassical Richardsonian forms were simplified into the Beaux-Arts standard, easier to build, easier to understand, requiring less knowledge to construct. When you look at photographs of major cities from 1885 compared to 1895, you see the transition happening in real time. The same buildings get, quote-unquote, renovated. The same streets get updated. The ornate facades become streamlined. The impossible geometric precision becomes sloppy, human-scale approximation. It's like someone was teaching civilization to forget how to build. And here's the part that matters. The reset wasn't American. It wasn't even European. It was simultaneous across every major city on every continent. Moscow, Buenos Aires, Sydney, Cairo, Mumbai, Beijing. Between 1880 and 1900, every major population center underwent the same architectural standardization, the same historical revision, the same institutional restructuring. That level of coordination requires something that shouldn't exist. Global governance. Not conspiracy. Governance. An actual functional structure of power that could move governments, institutions, and populations in synchronized directions across continents without breaking a sweat. The question stops being whether this happened and becomes what motivated it. The answer is in what came after. After 1900, history accelerates. Technology appears from nowhere. Electrical systems, wireless transmission, what Nikola Tesla was attempting to reconstruct publicly with his Wardenclyffe Tower until that project was shut down and his papers seized. His Colorado Springs experiments had already demonstrated that atmospheric electricity, radiant energy drawn directly from the Earth's electrical field, was a viable distributed power source. A power source that required no central infrastructure, no institutions, no gatekeepers, aviation, automobiles. Within 30 years of the reset, civilization moves into a completely different technological era. It's like someone removed the old instruction manual and handed us a new one, a simplified one, one that made us depend on their expertise to understand even basic systems. Tesla's work wasn't invention, it was rediscovery. And the powers that orchestrated the reset knew exactly what he was rediscovering, which is why they stopped him. The buildings themselves are the proof, a Tartarian structure, and you can recognize them by their ornate precision, their impossible geometric perfection, their integration of what we now call free energy principles into their construction, the same atmospheric electricity and radiant energy transmission principles. Tesla spent his life trying to restore to public knowledge. A Tartarian structure doesn't require the level of specialized knowledge that a modern building requires. The systems are integrated. The principles are elegant. A person with mathematical understanding could maintain them. But modern buildings? Modern systems? You need specialists. You need institutions. You need the very power structures that orchestrated the reset. The reset wasn't a war. Nope, it was a transfer of power from a civilization that understood itself and could maintain its own complexity to a civilization fragmented into specialization, dependent on institutions, and ignorant of its own foundation. And the worst part? The part that should make you uncomfortable is that this was done for you, for your protection. This is what we tell ourselves. The Tartarian civilization was too advanced. Humanity wasn't ready. There would have been chaos. Wars fought over access to that technology. So the decision was made at levels of power you can't access and probably can't even imagine to reset civilization, to simplify it, and of course, to make you forget, to make you safe through ignorance. Sound familiar? The photographs don't lie, but they're incomplete. The buildings tell the story if you know how to read them. The star forts tell the story. The 1771 Encyclopedia Britannica, with its maps of Grand Tartary and Chinese Tartary, tells the story. The gaps in the historical record are so precise, so coordinated, that they become proof of the opposite of what they claim. And the reset didn't fail. It worked perfectly. So perfectly that you're hearing this, a person living 120 years after the event, and part of you still doubts because the institutions that benefited from the reset are the same institutions telling you it never happened. The reset was the most successful historical operation ever conducted, not because it was hidden, but because it was hidden in plain sight, in the architecture of every city you've ever lived in the gaps in every textbook you've ever read, in the feeling you have when you look at a photograph from 1885 and notice that the buildings are too perfect, too coherent, too alive, in a way that modern structures will never be. Your ancestors didn't lose a civilization. They were convinced to forget they had one. The question isn't whether it happened. The question is what you'll do now that you know. Tracy, out.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring some unapproved thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out, and next time, we're going deeper.